Be seated. Pray with me, please. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill the hearts of your faithful gathered here this morning in this warm, beautiful, historic, spiritual, mostly comfortable space, Lord. Speak, Lord. Your servants long to hear your voice. It's in your name we pray. Amen. How many of you, I think you have to be born probably after 1970 to be familiar with this, but how many of you are familiar with this old ad slogan, membership has its privileges? Just raise your hand if you've heard that. You don't remember. Membership has its privileges is an advertising slogan made famous by American Express back in 1987. Some of us may remember the commercials full of expensive things, exotic things, rare things. The commercials would always end with the slogan, membership has its privileges. The implication was that these certain rare, exotic, expensive things were only available through the use of your American Express credit card. So if you wanted to get in on all the rewards, you had to be a member. Listen again to our Corinthians reading, verse 27. And Tom, by the way, if there was anybody that was thinking they might want to be a lay reader, I think we might have scared him this morning with that Old Testament reading. Well done. Well done. This was the New Testament reading from Corinthians, verse 27. Now you, gathered here at 9 a.m., gathered here at 7:45, gathered at 11:15, gathered in many churches around the world, you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Paul goes on, God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, and that the members may have the same care for one another. Membership, according to Paul, has its privileges. Ask anybody who's been sick in this church. Ask anybody who's lost a loved one in this church. Or go the other way. Ask anybody who's had a wedding recently that this church was involved in, or a baptism that this church was involved in. I know to a person, they'll tell stories of how this church lovingly and sacrificially served them and their family. Last year, one person who lives in Georgetown and is not a member of Prince George unexpectedly lost her husband. She was devastated, as you could imagine. She turned to her friends, most of whom are members of Prince George Winyaw Church, because membership has its privileges. So the Prince George lay people, the Prince George clergy, the funeral guild, the ushers, the pastoral care team, all cared for this woman, all cared for her children, all cared for her grandchildren. 2 weeks after the service, that wife, fighting back her tears, looked me in the face and said this, Gary, Prince George Winyaw treated me like I was a member. I've experienced that same gratefulness in wedding settings and after baptisms. And I want to say it's wonderful, folks, when we show our Southern hospitality to others, when we care in deep and important way to others. But I want to say this morning, after listening to the Corinthian reading, it's even more an amazing thing when we begin to exercise the gifts of the Holy Spirit in their breadth. So I don't want to talk about simply Southern hospitality today. I don't want to talk about how we treat our neighbors graciously over the fence. But this morning, I want to talk about the power of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit that's available to each one of us. This power, by the way, cannot be drummed up. It cannot be magically created. No, real Holy Spirit power comes with miracles, comes with healing, comes with forgiveness, comes with peace. It's the working of God in the kingdom of God. It's on heaven as it is on earth kind of stuff. Last week at our level one prayer class, the speaker, a guy named Ken Posley, he's an Oral Roberts graduate, he's a pastor, and he's a staff member at Christian Healing Ministries. He presented the talk on physical healing. He opened the talk by telling a story about John Wimber, a guy from the West Coast. John Wimber was a renewal movement guy, but he started off as a happy hippie. He was a hippie in a band, in a Las Vegas band, very content with his life. He played the piano. John came to Christ and began reading the New Testament shortly after his conversion. And then he went and attended a church service. After the service, John ran up to the pastor and said, Pastor, that was a wonderful service. Now, when do we get to do the stuff? The pastor stared at him intently and replied, Excuse me, what stuff? To which Wimber smiled and replied, healings and miracles. The astonished and embarrassed pastor, in sort of a there, patronizing posture, looked right at John and said, John, that was all in the past. We don't do that anymore. To which John exasperatedly replied, you mean I gave up drugs and rock and roll for this? Yeah, I'm glad we laughed. Church ought to be exciting. It ought to be full of the power of the Holy Spirit. Miracles ought to be happening all the time. And it's true when we laughed. And we're being honest with ourselves because I think a lot of us were brought up in a church or churches that wrongly taught about those healings and miracles. What we read in the Bible, we learned, was awesome, but we can't do that anymore, and that doesn't happen anymore. Only Jesus can do that. So calm down, Gary. We read about Noah's Ark or the parting of the Red Sea, and we think, oh, well, maybe way back in the past, a particular person, most particularly Jesus, performed these miracles, but they sure don't happen anymore. Listen to the words of Jesus to us. Listen to Jesus' words. I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things. Again in Matthew, he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. I give it to you. Therefore, go into all the nations. And finally, Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened for you. I get it, folks. The miraculous is a hard sell. It's a very hard sell in this prove it to me or I won't believe it until I see it world that we live in. I get that, but I choose this day to believe in the miraculous. Ryan loves to tell the story of when I first got here. It was the first Thursday healing service and Eucharist, and the sign was kind of leaning over toward Broad Street, and I walked up to Ryan as we were coming in, and I said, how many healings have occurred here on this Thursday service? And Ryan stopped dead in his tracks and looked at me like I was a Bigfoot. He was like, what? I said, well, it says healing on the sign. How many healings have we seen? And he was like, I said, well, then we need to take the sign down. We just do Holy Eucharist. It's a beautiful thing. Let's just do communion, but let's quit advertising healings and Holy Communion unless we're going to pray and believe that the Spirit of God is actually going to bring healings. And I'll tell you, those of us that regularly attend Wednesday, we've seen some healings. Last week, almost 5 years to the day, a friend of mine in a small group shared that they had been cured of cancer. They'd claimed that through the power of prayer, they were cured. Now, this friend of mine still sees physicians. They still get medical tests. They still avail themselves of all modern medicine has to offer. But they believe, first and foremost, that God is the power behind it all. God is the power in it all. God is the reason they were healed. God answered their prayer. So that person would agree with me strongly. Membership has its privileges. Three stories about membership and how we can maintain our membership. What I'm talking about is a membership that's available to everybody seated here this morning. Everybody who desires to be connected to God. That's the entryway to real and active membership. Staying connected by His Spirit. I'm going to give you three examples of that connection. Connected to God, connected to one another, and connected to our neighbors. Connected to God by His Spirit. Last week, Ryan told us in his sermon, the best way to do that, and you're doing it this morning, is to read and listen to His Word. We come here on Sundays, we hear His Word read all four ways, Old Testament, New Testament, Psalms, and Gospel. And then Ryan encouraged us to do some Bible reading on our own, maybe through the Gospel Challenge, maybe through Men or Women's Bible Study, or maybe in your quiet place every morning. But Word and Sacrament, when we stay connected that way, we grow more and more into who God created us to be, whether we realize it or not. Here's the story. Two Sundays ago, after a sermon, Ryan made a prayer. It seemed to stir some people's hearts, so more than usual number of people went back for prayer. We had to move the prayer location from that side where it typically is over here because of the construction. So my wife and Charles Nation were on the prayer team. They went back there after receiving communion first, and then the people in the back got up to go forward for communion. Well, three ladies sitting in the back, Totsi Moore, Rhodes Miller, and Katie Colvin, I have their permission. Those three women seated at the back came back from communion, and they couldn't get to their purses or their coats because the prayer team was standing in the way. So they stood quietly about where Bert Palmer is standing, waiting for their turn to sit back down once all the prayer time was over. There was about four or five people in line at this point. And then the unexpected happened. Somebody came back for prayer, walked right up to Rhodes, Totsie, and Katie, who were just standing there minding their own business. They're not on prayer team. And said, "Oh, I've come back for prayer. Will you pray for me?" Totsie Moore, without hesitation, the other two tell me, started to pray a beautiful prayer. The woman thanked her and went back and sat down. It's not so much you see what Totsie Moore said or did, brothers and sisters. She hasn't been trained. I asked her if she wanted to go through the training. She said, "No, thank you. I'm going to sit on the other side of the church from now on." It's not so much what she did, it's how she responded. Standing in a supermarket, out in a duck blind, in a hospital, somebody asks us to pray, connected to God, you know what's going to happen? We're going to say, maybe awkwardly, okay, I'll pray for you. Connected to God by His Spirit, connected to one another by His Spirit. I used to get very jealous when I had a friend that I introduced to another friend. So like, if I took this guy and introduced him to that guy, and then 3 weeks later found out they were doing something and I wasn't included, I get really upset. I don't know what that's called. But that's changed since I began a deeper walk with Jesus. Now I really get enthusiastic when one friend meets another friend and suddenly they're best friends. Happened about 3 months ago. Two golfers in our church, two people who are very good at golf, got to know each other because the four of us played together in a little tournament. Those two guys decided that they'd like to play together in a tournament without the baggage of me and my friend, and so they went off and played in a member guest golf tournament, these two new friends, and guess what? They won. Now, I'm not saying Jesus was on their side anymore, that Jesus is on somebody else's side. What I am saying is that those two guys, through golf and in Christ, are now becoming wonderful, wonderful friends. When that happens, folks, the church grows as a visible witness to the world. And then the third example, connected to our neighbors by His Spirit. We have neighbors across the street. He's a physician and she's a retired nurse. They have seven children. And in the beginning, we were becoming quite good friends. They came over for a glass of wine in the backyard of the rectory. And when we went to the ARB meeting about 6 or 7 months ago, they showed up and acted a little incredulous and a little surprised. To which, after the meeting, I came up to them and said, "I'm very disappointed in you, neighbors, friends. I've been very clear about what's going on at this church. As we've taken buildings down, as we move the rectory, you've been in on everything. And so to show up here tonight and act like you're being blindsided, I'm really disappointed. I thought we were better friends than that." Well, of course, you know, they didn't really like to hear that lecture. And about 3 weeks later, we get a phone call from the wife because some of our traffic, our cars parked out there during the day, maybe it was women's Bible study, were blocking her driveway, which was a legitimate complaint. And I ran out there and said, "Oh, we're so sorry." And I asked the person, they moved their car. And we've been pretty diligent that from that moment forward to keep our car from blocking their driveway. Well, she made one of those phone calls. Maybe some of us have done this. It was kind of one of those do this or else phone calls. And the or else ended with, "Or else I'll call the police." And then hung the phone up on sweet Lisa Rowe. So, like I said, we've kept their driveway clear. And in the meanwhile, I've been moving their trash can in twice a week because they don't live here. So they have a maid service that comes, puts the trash out, and then I wheel it in and put it away. Kind of, I'm going to be honest, to heap burning coals on their heads. And to do something nice. And to try to, most of you think it's to heap burning coals on their heads. To try to get back in their good graces because they're our neighbors. May not like them all the time, but that's who I'm. So anyway, about 2 weeks ago, Sammy and I, frigid morning, very early, a big van pulls up, and they get out of the van, they start to walk to the house. There's nobody there, because like I said, they're rarely there. They come on weekends. I yell to the delivery guy, who's got this big, heavy box. I said, "They're not there." He said, "Oh," you could hear him under his breath, "what am I going to do with this box?" I said, "Tell you what, just put it in the parish hall. What is it?" He said, "It's furniture." I said, "Oh, the second most important thing in my wife's life, besides Jesus, is furniture." I said, "Tell you what, put the furniture in the parish hall. I'll get a hold of them, let them know we've got it." Because if they were planning something this weekend and she really wanted the furniture, so they put these two gigantic boxes in our parish hall. They were heavy. Anyway, I got a hold of her. She said, "Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry." I said, "Don't apologize. Let us know when you're there." Hours pass. She comes. We put the furniture in their garage. Garage door goes down, and I say a prayer for her husband because he and his son has got to lift that furniture. About an hour later, my phone vibrates. Boop, boop, boop. And it's Mary Jane. She said, "Gary, please forgive me. A couple years ago, I lost my temper and shouldn't have, and I feel like I may have damaged what could have been a great relationship. And I said, all forgiven. And tell your husband good luck with that furniture, because it weighed a ton. Folks, when we're connected to our neighbors by his Spirit, the kingdom grows here and the kingdom grows around the world. Folks, I tell Ryan all the time, the gospel grows. It gets pruned regularly, but when it's pruned, it blooms and blooms even brighter than before. Make no mistake, membership has its privileges. And let me remind us all of this. Membership has its responsibilities. Just like if you don't pay the American Express card, they take your card away. We have to give up our rights in order to be a member. I think it's the hardest part. I think it's easier to say yes to the Lord when we're convicted of our sin than it is to totally surrender our rights to him as Savior and Lord. When we say yes to the Lord and yes to membership, we say no. Listen, we say no to ugly talk. You can't email somebody on the staff and use ugly language. We say no to unforgiveness. We say no to revenge. We say no to carrying a resentment. We say no to getting even. We say no to being addicted to anything. We say no to getting our way. We say no to crude or destructive behavior with our bodies. We say no to being right all the time. We say no to having it our way all the time. That's the hardest part of membership, folks. But I'm telling you, it's the only part the rest of the world sees. They know you come to church. They know you're a member of Prince George. You do any one of those things, and the first thing they think of is, well, their faith isn't real. They're just going to church for show. So if we desire membership or connectedness, we need to pray and pray daily for the power of the Holy Spirit to give us self-control and surrender. We need to ask the Spirit to change us more and more into the person God intended us to be for his glory, our good, and the good of others. Listen to Paul's words from Ephesians. So that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, that we, being rooted and grounded in love, may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. Therefore, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, with bearing one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bonds of peace, Paul finishes it this way, membership. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. We should all desire to be a member, but never forget saying yes to membership and Jesus is definitely saying no to yourself and the world. I often get asked, what's the biggest difference since I was a medical salesman to being a full-time ordained person? And I answer the same way. This morning, I want to encourage all of you who desire to be members to consider adopting this answer. From now on, when someone asks you why you go to church or why you believe in Jesus or why you're a Christian, say this, because it's the highest privilege and it's the greatest honor to be connected to God for his purposes. Connected to God because when we're connected, we get invited into people's lives when they need us most. At funerals, at births, at baptisms, at confirmations. Connected to this world or ourselves, we really miss out on what true life is all about. This connected life is available to everyone. Everyone that wants to be connected to God. Don't miss out on it. Membership has its privileges. Amen.